since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1208. This is your host, Danny Pena, and joining me, this is our first recording as a married couple, my beautiful wife, Rihanna Manuel Pena.
Hello. Hi, husband.
Hi, wife. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm really good.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for joining. I know originally I was going to record this offline for our community and also podcast subscribers, and Rhi was like, nah. I'll join. Yeah. I'll record with you, you know. So
yeah, I can talk about games.
Yeah, that's a couple of things we have to talk about. Plus, I have a special recording, daily conversation with Paris. So for those only on the podcast listeners, could listen to that later on the show. It's a very long one. So this podcast might be a very long episode.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Now, a couple updates. A couple updates before we go to the episode. Paris is not going to be joining us for a couple weeks. I don't know how long. Scheduling, there's stuff behind the scenes, you know, good stuff.
Good stuff.
You know, work related and all that stuff. So he's just going to take a break for a couple weeks. Pete is also out of town because of work. I don't know when he's going to come back. Probably most likely later this month. But we're still going to be recording episodes. Either I record, maybe Paris would join randomly. Like, we don't know yet. But live recordings, I might just do it on my own for a couple of weeks. You know, I might have some guests. You never know. Interviews, stuff like that. So stay tuned. Podcast is not stopping or anything like that. We're still going to have content coming up every week. And plus, it's big next month. It's Xbox Showcase, Summer Game Fest. It's like a lot of things coming up. There's a lot of previews happening throughout this month too that also hopefully I'm allowed to talk about it later on. So yeah, just be on the lookout for it. It's a lot of cool stuff. A lot of cool stuff. So, I mean,
it's going to be a busy summer.
that's what happens when you're busy. When there's like so many things going on, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
So yeah, just want to say that very quick. All right, head over to Gamertag Radio. .com. Listen to our past episode. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. And make sure to spread the word. Share the content to the world, your friends, everybody. Just let them know about GTR. And also, post a review. Every time you do that, it will help us out to climb on top of the charts. So it doesn't matter if it's an Apple Podcast, Spotify, anywhere. Just follow us, review us. That will help us out. Now, if you would like to be part of our family discussion, which we have a couple questions for this episode, we're going to play it in a few minutes. Here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Rhi, let's talk about what's been happening the past couple of days. Look, I haven't really been playing a lot of Xbox games. If I do, it's probably through the PC. We moved, so we still have stuff in boxes, you know.
Yeah.
but I've always been playing, you know, my games on PC for now until we unbox everything. But I heard there was outages for 2 days, I believe, something like that. Now, this is the part that I feel like Xbox needs to do a better job with. One is when Xbox Live goes down, a lot of people, especially the majority of the people, they don't go online to search what's going on with like Xbox support, you know, through Twitter, websites and everything like that, right? So
right, because the large majority of Xbox owners and users aren't on social media.
Exactly. So they have to figure out a better way to communicate to those consumers that probably also having issues, you know, because people are not just going to go on Twitter to find out what's happening, you know. The second thing that I want to talk about is when Xbox Live is down, and a lot of people have been buying games digitally, especially for me. I think I only have one physical game, and that's because a company sent me that, and that's Elden Ring.
Yeah.
What happened if it goes down and you bought all these games digitally? You can't, unless you have your console at home, that's the only way you could play it. But if you don't have set up like that, or your home console, there's no way for you to play these games. And it's very frustrating hearing about that, either that or people trying to log into their account and they can't. It's not connecting. It's very, very frustrating. And I just hope that, I mean, now it's fixed, the issues. But the past 2 days, I've been seeing tweets of people just like not happy about it, man, at all. And this could happen with any console. It could happen with PlayStation. It could even happen on Steam, on PC, you know. So I just want to have your conversation with that, opinion about the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of the drawbacks of the digital future that we're all marching towards. It's going to be increasingly common when there are outages. Most folks won't be able to access most of their games. You know, we're not buying as many physical copies of things anymore. And even if you do, there's often still a verification that happens connecting you to the servers to make sure that you're up to date, or, you know, you have latest firmware download update, and that you can play if you're doing any multiplayer component, even if it's a physical copy, you're going to have that online check. So it's an unfortunate reality that system outages are just going to be here to stay. Mm-hmm. I do appreciate that Xbox is so quick to solve those problems. And, you know, they have to get better at making sure that they're communicating to folks who aren't on Twitter or aren't following them on social media, you know, that needs to be something that is updated, maybe even on the homepage. Like, hey, if there's an outage, go here to see the latest update. And it's a website they constantly keep updating, like Xbox Wire or something like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I definitely agree with you in the communication piece. But as far as outages, they just will happen. That's just technology. And that's any game, any system at all.
Yeah, I mean, this is not the first time. This happened before. I remember even during the PlayStation 3 days, I believe it was out for a while. People couldn't play online at all for days, you know, so because of the hack and everything that happened. And also on the Xbox side, that happened a couple times during the Xbox 360 days too, that people couldn't play. But the difference is back then you just grab your disc, put it inside the system and play. The only thing you can't play online, but for those digital games that you buy, it has to check to see if this is like legit that you bought these games. It's kind of frustrating because I get from the business side, but also I get it from the consumer side. Yo, imagine paying $60 and you can't even play a game. You know, a couple months back, I think it was Gran Turismo. That one is also an online game. The servers went down and there was a lot of people that purchased that game and they couldn't really play online at all because it was having issues with online services and everything. So, yeah, I think every company needs to figure that out on how, as a backup, like how can we, as a consumer, we could, you know, learn what's happening behind the scenes. Also, for us to be patient. If you pay something, you can't play. It's just a lot of things, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else from that, Bree?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just one call out, because, you know, I'm sure it's an elephant in the room for most people who are around at this point. When the Xbox One, I believe, came out and they had this new DRM system, this is sort of one of the cases that people were afraid of happening more and more often is, you know, I bought something, whatever the digital rights management system needs to check isn't working as intended, and now I can't get the thing I paid for. And it's always frustrating, but again, it's just part of the digital future. Like, things will be out of service sometimes. There'll be technical issues. And it's just, unfortunately, part of the game these days.
I mean, but Ree, look, we have multiple online stores on the PC side. There's Steam, Epic Game Store. There's a bunch. It could happen the same thing through there, too. It's not just only consoles. You know what I'm saying?
Isn't, and it's not only gaming either. Like sometimes you can't access Netflix or Disney Plus or Paramount. Like anything that has an online component has the honestly, the eventuality of shutting down at some point or going down or the servers aren't connecting correctly. And it is just what it is.
Yeah. Remember watching WandaVision? And we couldn't even watch it because so many people were trying to stream it at the same time.
Exactly. It happens everywhere. Like any Hypebeast shoe drop or the latest line from Ivy Park comes out and all the servers at Adidas go down. Like it just happens. It's part of the digital future.
Yeah. And for those who are listening, you know, if you have any feedback about this or questions, make sure to hit us up fanmail@gamertagradio.com. That's fanmail@gamertagradio.com. I'm curious to know your thoughts about the outages, your experience. How was it for you the past couple of days? 48 hours probably was rough for a lot of people, you know?
And how it can be communicated better.
Yeah.
If people aren't on social.
Yeah, if there's any other way for not only Xbox, but any gaming company to communicate to consumers. Because, again, the majority of people are not going to be on social media. You know, this is more us, the hardcore. They were always there, getting to know what's going on and everything, you know? But, yeah, I bet you there's people that didn't even know that there's an Xbox support account on Twitter, you know? So, yeah, very cool. All right, Ree, another topic I want to talk about is we've been playing Nintendo Switch Sports. Thank you to Nintendo of America for sending this. Now, I'm going to keep it real. I wasn't, crazy excited about the game at all. I was like, oh, you know, reminds me of the Wii. I think it would be cool to play with friends. But actually, we played the other day, and my God, I had a great time. I had a great time. Now, one of the sports that we were playing the most, of course, is bowling. Mm-hmm. You could play up to 16 people, and you could have you could play this by yourself or locally have another person. Like I was playing with my wife Rihanna, and we were playing online with random people from Japan, from all over the world, and it works like this: everybody goes to the first round. You have three tries. And whoever has the top score, and there's only a certain amount of people that that could be on that list, then you go to the next round, and everybody that's at the bottom of the score list are eliminated, and it continue until there's only top three, and that's it. So our first game, we were on top. We were top two, and that was our first game. After that, it was
beginner's luck for sure.
Yeah, after that, it was all over the place. We were getting annihilated. Yeah, it was crazy, but it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. I really, really enjoyed this game. Now, I haven't tried the feature where you could also play with friends. We haven't tried that yet. We've been playing with just a lot of randoms, and it's good. I really, really enjoy this. And this is something that, first of all, it's cheap. You could get this for only $39.99. Really, really cheap. But I just love that, hey, look, you want to take a break of Elden Ring and all these insane, crazy games? Hey, you go lay back, play some bowling, tennis, soccer, etc. So I really enjoyed it. Well, how about you?
I absolutely love I keep wanting to say Wii Sports, Switch Sports, Nintendo Switch Sports. Mm-hmm. I was a big fan of Wii Sports, and like a lot of folks who got really excited about motion gaming, I wanted to try every single one to see which ones are my favorites.
Yeah.
We did bowling and tennis so far. And I think of the two, bowling is definitely my favorite. But I really like tennis, and it's fun to playing doubles with, you know, the person next to you, because then you feel oh yeah, we're really out here killing it together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
And I enjoyed that a lot. We still need to try the other games. I think
I tried badminton. I tried badminton.
Yeah, there's badminton, soccer.
We tried soccer, not too much, but I think you were the one that played soccer. I remember.
I tried.
Yeah, tried. But it was a little. We were just practice to see which one is which. But honestly, I think bowling is the best and easiest one for everybody. We got your mom and your stepdad a Nintendo Switch, and this is the game that they were very excited to play. So I was like, oh man, we got to play online with them, man. And that's the part that I love about Nintendo Switch is Nintendo make games that is for everyone. It doesn't have to be just the hardcore Nintendo fans. Anybody could just go and pick it up and play, you know?
Yeah. So. But really quickly, let me just read the list of all of the types. So they have soccer, volleyball. We tried volleyball. Bowling, tennis, badminton, and chambra. And like I said, bowling is definitely my favorite. What I really like about it too is, again, Nintendo is doing such a great job at this. And they did it back when they released the Wii. Mm-hmm. It's so accessible. So as you mentioned, my mom has been playing My mom is, of course, you know, older generation, but had always grown up with video games as well. She bought me my first console when I was just 2.5. And, you know, she's been playing as she's been traveling and, you know, taking care of some folks outside of the house, and also playing like in handheld mode. And she figured out how to put the controller dock with the two Joy-Cons in each side. Mm-hmm. And then she's also like put it on the TV screen and play it at home. And the fact that like she's able to figure it out so easily without asking us for help, it just shows like how easy it is. It's truly changed everything for I would say most gamers and making sure that they are able to play wherever they are, whatever their situation is. And that changes over time, right? Mm-hmm. Like a traditional console has to be in a certain spot, has to be plugged in a certain way. And you have to be a certain distance from the TV in order to really play effectively. What I love about the Switch is that you can really play in any configuration you can imagine. And at one point, we were even playing bowling, like laying down in the bed, like yeah. just swinging our arms. Like this.
It didn't work out for us, though. It didn't work out just for us.
Swinging arms straight up. Yeah. And I love that because there are folks who will be playing in bed, they either by choice or by circumstance. And so I really just shout out to Nintendo again for making a banger game that people of all ages can enjoy. And you know, hopefully people aren't throwing their Joy-Cons to their TV screens anymore.
And believe it or not, this is great, great workout for those that just want to get up and start moving. And I highly, highly recommend it. Even if you never played the Nintendo Switch, Wii Sports, there you go.
Yeah.
If you never play this, like, it's so much fun. It's so, so much fun. Especially you have a group of people and just play. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's an easy sell if you're into motion games. I would say you would probably like something within Switch Sports.
Definitely, definitely. Ari, so I have fan mail questions. So here goes, guys. And it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, we have a couple questions, and there's a couple I'm like, you know what? I think I have to answer this because this was a very interesting question that people sent me. So let me go here to my emails. All right, so this is the first one, and this is from one of our members on Discord. He wrote this because I've been asking people, hey, what's your feedback about the last episode that I had with Reggie Fils-Aimé? Great, great podcast, by the way. So he wrote this. I think Reggie gave great answers in the recent interview, but I definitely prefer his appearance on your show before, since it felt less of a question/answer. My question for you, Danny, is what positive things do you take away from doing the most recent format? So Matt sent me that. Thank you, Matt, so much for sending me that question. Now, Ree, It's interesting hearing this because a lot of people don't know this. You know, this is the first time that Reggie and I sat down and we done like a Q&A session. This took place during Gamesbeat Summit. And
the first time in person.
The
first time you sat down with him in person.
In person, yeah. First time. We met at events, you know, we got to talk very quickly and stuff like that. But this is the first time that we sat down and do a Q&A. Plus, we were the keynote speakers for the event. It was the first major session. The room was pretty packed in there. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a podcast format, which I get that last time it was just us having a conversation. But this one, I wanted to ask as many questions as possible about the business. And he answered it as much as possible, you know. And plus, we only had like a certain amount of time. Originally, it was 30 minutes. And we both agreed to extend it at least to 45 minutes because 30 minutes is nothing, you know. So that's one. Two, if you look at all the interviews that Reggie had throughout the week, because he was promoting his book, Gamesbeat Summit and also the G4 in-person interview. Those were the only in-person interviews they've done. Everything else was just Zoom, virtual, and everything, right? So I appreciate that Reggie and the team at Gamesbeat gave me an opportunity to be part of that session, to sit down with them. And also, Gainsbeat gave me permission to use that audio. Originally, I was just going to do the session and that's it. But I asked, hey, is it possible for me to use that audio? And they were like, sure, Danny, yo, go ahead. Post it a couple of days later. And that's what I did. You know, again, this was not a plan to have it as a podcast episode. But I feel like the conversation was so good. And we talked about a lot of things that that Reggie didn't talk about in other interviews that I felt was important for me to release it. You know what I'm saying? So I felt happy about it. I really enjoyed the conversation. And so far, the majority of the feedback has been really, really great about the interview.
Now, we'll say one thing to also keep in mind, and as you mentioned, mm-hmm. that this audio was from a different event, not your own podcast. So the format is a little different. It's not, you know, Danny's gamertag format.
Yeah.
But Gamesbeat Summit is a business conference. It's not a consumer-facing conversation. Mm-hmm. So the questions are a little bit more tailored to other folks in the games industry and other developers, publishers, venture capitalists, so on and forth. Mm-hmm. So that's also another reason why it sounded a little bit different from what you usually do on your show, which is a lot more personal, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And now I have to say this, Ree, you know, and since the beginning of GTR, since episode one, every time I record something, it could be a conversation, it could be us at an event, anything like that, right? I want people, the listeners, to feel like they're also part of the conversation, you know? When every time we'll post content from E3, I want them to feel like, oh man, I'm also at E3, you know? With this, I want people to feel like, hey, I could attend Gamesbeat. This is the closest for me to, you know, be part of the event. And that's the main reason why I posted it on the podcast, you know? So again, different format, but I really enjoyed it. I think it was an amazing conversation. You were there, Ree. How was the conversation overall, seeing it in person and everything for you?
It was great. And I love post Nintendo Reggie so much. Like, he's so open and so honest about everything he's learned and all the experience that he's gained in the industry. Mm-hmm. And he's just such an impressive person. And I really do appreciate his candor. And he opens up when he talks to you, I would say even more than other folks. And it's just such a delight to see. And I like read the book. Like, you should check out his book.
Actually,
can you show it? You have it there in your background.
I have it in the back. See what says G4 right here. Right here. See, I have it there. The book. And yeah, he signed my copy. So really cool. Ree, was there anything from the conversation that we had that stood out to you?
Something that really stood out was the way he spoke about NFTs and crypto and in gaming. Mm-hmm. And essentially just saying, like, it'll work if it works and we shouldn't freak out about it so much. And if it doesn't work, it won't work. And then it'll go away.
That's how it is.
It's just a technology. It doesn't need to have such an emotional reaction. Because if it is not viable, it won't work.
Yeah.
And then it'll just disappear.
Yeah. And if people are not going to like it, what will your wallet? Don't support it at all. And I think that's the best way to send your message to companies is like, mm-hmm. if you go online and just, you know, all in caps, angry tweets, that's not going to help at all. I think by you voting with your wallet is going to change a lot of things in the industry. I think that's more powerful than anything else, in my opinion, you know? So, mm-hmm. One thing that stood out to me was, besides him talking about growing up in the Bronx, that was really cool. And I feel like this was a very, very important question for me to ask, like how the Bronx helped you to go on top, you know, to become a president of a gaming company, first Black American to achieve that. Mm-hmm. I think that was a very great answer. I think that was very, very important for people to see, because I feel like every interview that he's done, people will more talk about like Nintendo and the business side, which I get, but I also want to know about him as a person, you know, like how growing up in New York City helped him to become a better business person, you know what I'm saying? So I think that was a very, very great answer. And also, I asked him about Steam Deck and Playdate. That was a very interesting answer. He doesn't like Playdate. He calls it a gimmick.
It is. I mean, that's nothing wrong with that. Like, any handheld has an immediately different audience and a different use case, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's going to be for a specific type of gamer, and if you enjoy it, you enjoy it. Yeah. And that's great. But mm-hmm. it's not a huge audience like another console would be.
Now, he also talked about Steam Deck. He says it has a lot of potential. Yeah. But this is more for like the hardcore fans that will actually buy it. He feels like it's way overpriced.
The price point is far too high mm-hmm. for a viable handheld audience pickup. Like, it's just not something people will buy if they see it in a store at that price.
Yeah.
And really, that's what you need. You need the Walmart ticket to look enticing to somebody who's just passing by and didn't think about it before then. Mm-hmm. And these prices won't get that sale.
Yeah. For those who are listening, make sure to listen to that episode. I think it's a really, really great conversation overall. And please send us your feedback. Let me know your thoughts about it. And once again, thank you so much to Reggie and Gamesbeat, the whole team, for giving me the opportunity. You know, and people don't know this. I talked about it briefly on Twitter, but we got married. We came back. I had like no days off during the week. Monday, when we arrived here at 8 a.m., because we drove from Las Vegas, I had a couple of things I had to do there. You'll find out later this week what it is. and also, I went to Gamesbeat, did the event, went back to the studio, took Reggie there to do the in-person interview. And then I had to host Gamesbeat virtually for 2 days. So the only day I was off was Friday, and I was exhausted. My voice was completely gone. You know, like, yeah, that's why I had to take a break from recording. It was just a lot of work. So, you know.
It was a lot of talking too, just like the whole weekend. Yeah, and then straight into the week.
It was a lot of work. But yeah, thank you everyone that, you know, got to listen to the episode and also sending me all these cool messages online, man. So thank you so much. All right, so let's go with the next question, Ree.
Okay.
And this is a good this also he sent it for the crew, but the crew is not here, it's only us.
I'll be the crew.
Yeah, you're part of the crew.
Wait, I can't talk. Hey, it's me personally.
Is that wow. good? Wow. That sounds exactly like Paris. He says, while I'm happy for Elden Ring fans, my gaming time is limited in the evenings. So this game wasn't for me. My concern is, with all the success of Elden Ring, do you think other game developers will get rid of the difficulty settings and make their games more difficult? He says, I really hope not. And this is from Omar. Omar, thank you so much for the question. Ree, your thoughts about this, because Elden Ring sold a lot of copies. A lot of people love it.
Yes.
And of course, people are going to be talking about like the difficulties. I think this conversation came up also when Sifu came out, when mm-hmm. originally first launched. It was a difficult game. A lot of people wanted to see if there was any changes with difficulty. They just added it recently. Your thoughts about this? Because you play Elden Ring more than me, actually. So your thoughts about not having a difficulty settings in there in the game?
Yeah. My answer could probably be best demonstrated by my experience with Sifu, as you mentioned it. I was so excited for that game. It was like one of the top of my list for the year. Mm-hmm. When I finally got a chance to play it, I tried really hard, but didn't get super far. Mm-hmm. And I wish there was a difficulty slider or a way to make it a little bit less challenging, mm-hmm. because I wanted to see what else was going to go on with the story. It had a really cool like nonlinear storytelling to it, and I love games like that. But the combat was just too high of a curve for me. And mm-hmm. I know that they've recently added some more difficulty adjustment options, and I feel like it's lost me. So using that use case, I'm sure that's, you know, not everyone, but a number of folks out there with any game that, you know, has a really high difficulty curve, Elden Ring included. The difference in Elden Ring, however, is that the game is designed around it so that you have options. If you run into an encounter, an enemy, or an area that is too challenging, mm-hmm. you can go somewhere else. And some games like Sifu don't have that option. It's either defeat this enemy, beat this boss, get through this room, or start over. And I think it's possible that there will be more games that come out inspired by Elden Ring, or ones that were already in development, that have different options for players depending on like the open world or what nonlinear gameplay moments they have access to. However, I don't see difficulty options leaving the gaming space by any means. It's definitely something that has made gaming more accessible for folks. It has gotten games bigger audiences, and that will always win out at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And they are definitely not going anywhere.
Yeah, I think, and this is the conversation I was reading also online of people that, you know, it's important for to have difficulty in games, because not everybody, especially for like the older crowd, they just say they can't play a game like Elden Ring. It will probably will be like too difficult for them, you know. So that part I get, but also I get the part where, you know, growing up back in the days playing Nintendo games, and some of those games had no saving files. Mm-hmm. Like you either you play it, you die, start from scratch, all the way from the beginning, you know. So I play that part too. Like for example, Cuphead, that came out years ago. That game is really, really tough. I managed to finish it. My nephew during that time, he was 6 years old, and he managed to finish the game too, you know. So I think it's all about practice. The more you play the game, you figure out things, what to do, what not to do. And I think that's what happened with Elden Ring. I mean, I stopped playing it after a while, but I was trying to figure out, like, okay, how can I level up? Where to find, like, the right weapons and armor to upgrade my character? And it took me a while to figure out how to defeat Margaret. Like, I spent, like, 48 hours just trying to figure it out. And once I finally finished it, thanks to the help of one of our listeners, too, because I almost defeated it by myself multiple times, and I was, like, inches away to defeat it. I think Yuri beat Margaret way faster than me. It took me a long time, but I think you did a better job because you did some research and you found what type of weapons to use to defeat it. I didn't. I just went in. Like, it went in and took me forever, man. But I had a great time. And let me tell you, when I finally beat the boss, I jumped. I'm like, yeah, it felt like the old days, you know, for me.
And there will always be space for that experience in gaming. That's the one thing that I love about the landscape today is there is a game for every type of gamer out there. Mm-hmm. And simply because one game is really successful without difficulty options doesn't mean that all the rest of them will change. There will be really easy games. There will be hard games. There will be games that give you a choice to determine how challenging it is for you personally. Mm-hmm. And everything in between. And I think that's the really exciting part about having so many options these days.
And I think at the end of the day, Ree, and we both agree, the gaming space is not going to change just because of the success of Elden Ring. There might be some games that are probably going to be something similar to it, inspired by Elden Ring. But mm-hmm. to say that every game is going to get difficulty settings removed, that's not going to happen. I really don't agree with that at all. You know, so... all right, so we're in the same page on that.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, let's talk about our sponsor here, Gamertag Radio, and that's Bud Light Next. We're very proud to be sponsored by Zero Carbs Bud Light Next. If you haven't tried it out, it's super crisp with unexpected amount of flavor for being zero carbs. Plus, this is the perfect drink to drink during the summer, during when you're listening to Gamertag Radio, or when you're watching all these gaming announcements coming up in a couple weeks, especially for the month of June. Plus, they shared an exciting announcement a few weeks back to celebrate Earth Day. They're certified climate neutral and have an ambition to be net zero in the future. Plus, in partnership with Climate Neutral, they're also measuring and offsetting last year's carbon emissions and implementing reduction plans for future emissions through partnerships with organizations focused on reforestation. As a barrier-breaking brand, they're taking bold action, just like consumers, to make a better future for generations to come. In honor of this milestone, they're also working with a leading esports partner, and that's League of Legends Championship Series, to offset 100%, I mean 100% of electricity used during the spring finals this month with clean, renewable sources from wind power. So you, Gamertag Radio listeners, you can learn more on Bud Light Next's climate neutral certification and how you can reduce your carbon footprint go right now to BudLight.com/NetZeroFuture. That's BudLight.com/NetZeroFuture.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so let's go with the other question, and this is a voicemail, and this is from Keon. Let's play the can you hear the voicemail, Ree, if I play it?
I don't know.
You have to go to Twitch to hear it. Go to Twitch.
Okay, let me mute.
Yeah, mute. All right, here goes. Next voicemail from Keon.
What's going on, Gamer Tag Radio? How are you brothers doing? This is Keon calling from Baltimore. I just wanted to ask you guys, with the success of the Series consoles, I believe Satya Nadella, and you guys could definitely correct me if I'm wrong, I think he said that they have had the leading they've been leading console sales for the last 2 months, I believe. With that being said, with this, you know, with the, it looks like the supply is starting to kind of get a little better. They're starting to manufacture more of them. Of course, people are definitely going to buy them if they're available. But my question to you guys is, do you guys think that the All Access program has a little bit to do with this? Because I don't want to get too long-winded, fellas, but I will say this. I tried to sign up for the All Access program just to see how easy it would be. And it was very, very simple. It's $35 a month, zero interest. You get Game Pass included for 2 years. And at $35 a month, zero interest for 2 years, that's a very, very good deal, especially for someone that doesn't want to pay the $500 up front. So my question to you guys is, do you think that that has been also having a bit of an impact on how many Xbox Series X's and S's have been being sold? I would love to get you guys' opinion on this. As always, Danny, you're awesome, brother. Always enjoy the content, as well as Paris. And shout out to Pete Rock. You guys are great, man. So with that being said, you guys take care and have a good one. Bye-bye.
All right. I'm going to leave for a couple of seconds for Ree, because I know it's a little behind.
I got the question.
Cool. Just in case. Keon, thank you so much, man. I love that he's always calling and leaving messages, man. So I always save his voicemail. So I'm like, God, let me play on this episode and everything. So shout out to him.
Shout out to Pete and Paris as well.
Yeah, definitely. So one thing I have to mention about the All Access, I haven't really heard much about that from Xbox. I think for Microsoft overall, they always promote like their numbers overall, like how – like the sales for the Series S and X, but they haven't really talked about like how many people subscribe to the program.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anyone that I know personally that subscribed to the program like that. But for those who are listening, please let us know. Cause I'm curious to hear your thoughts about it. We already got feedback from Keon. He says it's very, very easy to get into the program. You get 2 years of Xbox Live, you get the console, all this stuff, and it's only $30 a month. Depending which console you get, if it's the Series S or X, of course the Series X is gonna be a little bit more expensive compared to the
S. But also no interest, which is really important because that's better than what you would do if you used a credit card to buy it.
Yep. Thank you for reminding me of that. That part, and also we have to talk about this too, Ree. Xbox has been, it's easier to find the Series S. It's been like that for a long time now, way longer than the Xbox Series X, and also longer than the PS5. So when it comes to sales, it's been helping Xbox with that. Recently, maybe like a month or two ago, now you can find the Xbox Series X at multiple retail stores. It's like a lot easier. It took some time, but also got to understand, because of the pandemic, it was really, really difficult to find any type of console for a very long time, you know? So I think it was smart for Xbox to have at least the Series S available. One is cheaper. And I think personally for me, that's my favorite console of this generation, is the Series S. It's easy to carry it around. I love the design. It's a better design than the Series X and the PS5, in my opinion. It's not for me, it's not all about the graphics. You know, cause I know everybody talks about like, oh, how it looks, next gen, all that stuff. Look, man, at the end of the day, for me, is just the experience. Like, how's it looking the screen? Is it fast loading time? I love quick resume, et cetera, you know? So, and plus, the most important thing, this console is very cheap. You could easily find this for a very, very cheap price, man. So either buy through the All Access way or just buy it through the retail store and just buy the full price, you know? So your thoughts about the question and everything that he has to say.
Yeah. As you said, it's hard to know if All Access was a major factor in the success of the Series S or X, because we just simply don't have that level of granularity in the numbers reportings from Xbox. I'm sure somebody knows, but they haven't made it incredibly accessible to the public. But I think a really, really smart move on Microsoft's part was to make the X and the S so different. I think it makes it an easier sell for the consumer to see this is a different price and here's why. Mm-hmm. And also the S was just more available. And I don't know if it was the form factor or the manufacturing part line or the chipset, because I know there was some major chip shortages for across the board for not only consoles, but like computers and cars and all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. But making the S more abundant, it's inevitable that it will get sold more often, right? It's supply and demand. So I think it was a fantastic move for them to really push the S. And knowing that the higher price point of the X is going to be a tougher sell for most people and most households, having that smaller option that is very obviously, you know, the quote unquote bargain console, but still has all of the power and again, Game Pass inside of it is just a no-brainer. I think that they made all the right moves to really kind of pull ahead in the long run. And as long as the PS5 is still super hard to find, it's going to keep falling behind.
Yeah. My question to you, Reed, like why you decided to get the Series S than the X when it first said, hey, pre-order today. Yeah, you went online. Was it because of the price? Was it because of the design or what?
It was the design. I wanted something smaller, something easier to travel with, as you said, because, you know, we at the time thought we would be traveling a little more frequently.
Yeah.
The last 2 years, of course, nobody planned for it exactly. But I liked that it had everything that I wanted out of an Xbox. I can still, you know, play everything that I need to, but mm-hmm. it's easier to fit into a home console space. It's easier to toss in a bag, take through airport security, all of that jazz. And yeah, it's cute. It's a cute console. Yeah. Yeah. That makes a big difference. And I think people maybe don't always acknowledge how important it is to the masses. But if mm-hmm. it looks good, it's going to be more appealing.
Yeah. And here's the thing. And I don't like doing this, but I know someone in the chat, GZDR4EV, I think that's his name, wrote, mm-hmm. the only problem I see is if too many people have the S when the newer games come out, that is graphic and the system process demanding, the S will be played poorly. Now, here's the thing. The Series S is all about frame per second. So either 30 frames or for the S, 60 or even 120. For the Xbox, it's more of 4K graphically. It's going to look a lot better also. Mm-hmm. Frame per second in that one. But here's the thing, man. The majority of people don't care about the graphics. They just care about playing their games, man.
And a large majority of game console owners still don't have 4K TVs.
Yep, the majority. Even from the PC side,
yep.
The majority of people play 1080p. The majority, which is true because it's cheaper for them. It's not cheap to afford a 4K. Because of the graphic chip and all that stuff, like they don't care about that. They just want to enjoy playing games. And I think that's the part where people have to understand it's mm-hmm. not about the graphics, man. It's not. There's a very small group of people that cares about that, but the majority are gonna buy it because it's cheaper and they just wanna play games. There's more Xbox Series S owners than the Series X. And I remember when Xbox announced this. Way back when it got leaked, by the way. there was people saying, the majority of people are not going to buy this. I'm like, come on, bro. Are you serious?
It's parents, the big seller.
Yeah, parents are going to go to the store. They're not going to go to the store and say, you know, which hey, can you tell me which one is the one with the better graphics? Like, come on. They're going to look at the price, and they're going to go based on that more than anything. You know, so it was smart for Xbox to release two different versions. Now, for the PlayStation 5, it's either disc or digital. That's the only difference. But this one is digital, but cheaper, or get the most expensive one and you get like better graphics and everything like that. Plus, you could play disc on that one.
You know, also, with the Series S, it looks like it's made to be played by people of all ages. Like, the Series X looks like a piece of hardware for a hardcore adult gamer. Mm-hmm. The Series S looks cute, and it's easier to sell it to a parent to give it to their kid. And the difference in form factor between the PlayStation 5 digital and disc is not large enough to really make a distinction. Again, for somebody walking past it who doesn't know what it is, that's the majority of customers for anything these days. Like, they don't know why it's cheaper, why the disc matters to people. They're not ingrained in the minutiae like we are. And again, going back to the point about the TVs and people playing in 4K to have better graphics, it's absolutely better. It looks better, undeniably. Mm-hmm. But like, we are bleeding edge techies, and we just got 4K last year. So it's just not a large enough group of people who demand that graphics load in a console. Like, in PC space, maybe a little more, but even then, it's not enough to really sell people an additional several hundred dollars for the most part. And we're seeing it and play out in the sales numbers.
Yeah, and also, Ree, if you think about it too, you know, your mom loves probably the design of the Series S more than the X, right?
Absolutely.
And believe it or not, think about this, guys, for those who are listening. Why Nintendo Switch has been a success for Nintendo is not because of the graphics. It's because the way how the console is designed, games, of course, which is important, but it's cheap. It's cheap. And people just buy it. Like, your mom loves the Switch. She's been playing it for the past couple of days, and she even told us, oh, I discovered this game and this game, and I'm like, oh man, that's pretty cool.
The attach rate is super high. She's in there buying new games because, like, once you get it and you get it in your hands, it's fun to use. Like honestly, how much fun you can have with it is really what's going to sell things at the end of the day.
And again, for all the listeners out there, we are the hardcore audience. We're going to talk about graphics, tech, all this stuff. The majority of people don't care about that. And I think that's the part where people are not really thinking about, like, the bigger picture overall about that. You know, that's why it was very smart for Xbox to have that console for a very, very cheap price. Very, very cheap price. And I was very surprised when I saw the announcement of, like, how much the console was going to be. I was like, whoa, this is a game changer for Xbox. Huge, huge game changer.
Very competitive price.
Yeah. If you think about it, that's the main reason why the Xbox 360 was a success during that time. There was different price range for the console, and the majority of people bought the cheaper version because they just couldn't afford the expensive one. And, which is pretty crazy, back then, the cheaper version, it was a 20-gig hard drive. I think it was 20 gigs, which is nothing compared to the games that we play now. All right, everyone. So now, thank you, Ree, for talking to me with, you know, fan mail, a couple topics. But now I'm going to play Daily Conversation with Paris, which we did this last week on the stream. But I think it's important for me to release it because I think it was a great conversation. And it's a very, very long one. So we'll be right back after this.
This is Gamer Tag Radio.
Hey, Paris, I know I mentioned this in the podcast, but I told people, like, hey, man, Paris is going to be super busy for a while with work and everything, and, you know, personal stuff. I mean, this happened. I think this happened during E3 a couple years back. I think 2 years in a row that you couldn't attend E3 until like the last day. I mean, it happens.
It's audit season for me in my real job. So yeah, that's, I'm going to be doing a lot of stuff with that. Yeah. So yeah, I won't be around for a few weeks, but
You'll pop up randomly like, hey guys, I'm here. Yeah.
That's it.
I don't want people to be like, so what's Paris up to, man? Because now everybody's like investigating Paris every time we post something. Dude. Like,
yo, it tripped me out. I had said, on, I think it was XCast. Yeah, it was XCast. I'd mentioned, this is before I got the Steam Deck, and I was mentioning, oh, man, I get the Steam Deck. I was like, oh, I'm going to be traveling soon. Oh, I wish I could have it. Someone took me saying that and spun it into, he's doing the Xbox showcase. It's confirmed. He's trying. I was like, oh my God.
Come on, man.
I didn't say anything like that.
My God.
The theory crafting.
Oh, you want to hear something funny?
What's up?
With this Xbox outage yesterday?
Yeah.
And the tweets are still there. If someone dives in my tweets, they can see it.
Uh-huh.
There was a guy. Okay, first of all, I tweeted about, I hope the engineers working this weekend at Xbox, they get a quick resolution so they can freaking go home and be with their families.
Yeah.
Because I sympathize with that, because that has literally been my life for 20 years when mm-hmm. there was an outage.
Yeah.
So I said that. That's all I said. Dude in the comments was mad at me because I didn't speak out about the outage and that they needed to do something about it. And the only reason I won't do that is because I got a Cyberpunk chair. You know, that's like their freaking
default. Oh, God.
I got a Cyberpunk chair, and I got to make sure I can't upset Microsoft or they won't invite me to host a show again.
Jesus Christ, man. People can't.
It's like, it was spun into, well, Microsoft paid you, so I can't trust anything you say, and you don't deserve my respect, and blah 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 blah. It's like literally just attack on me, because I was hoping as some engineers that Microsoft doesn't have to work all freaking weekend. Like that's where we are with social media and stuff. Because, and the only reason I'm bringing it up, because I just saw Tony say something about how mm-hmm. anytime all people focuses on the negative, no mm-hmm. one focuses on the positive stuff, and mm-hmm. it's like social media, dude. That's why I tweet. And I don't respond in the comments. I barely read them because it's always chaos.
Oh, you know, my every God. Time
with that stuff. It's like you can't win. It's like you can't do anything in this industry, or you're paid off, or you're shit. Like if you're positive about something, like, my God, God forbid you actually like something, that means you're paid off. Like, even with the Halo stuff, I bought the battle pass because I want to give them a chance, right? 343.
Yeah.
With what they're doing. So I reached in my pocket, paid for the battle pass, and I'm gonna give it a legit shot over the next few months, and then talk so I can talk about it from an educated standpoint versus sitting on the sidelines just criticizing them the whole time, right? Mm-hmm. And I had posted, oh, I got the battle pass. People immediately, oh, you paid up. It's like, dude, you can't win. You can't do anything with that stuff. So that's why I appreciate the stuff that we do, and obviously our friendship and over the years and everything that we do with the podcast, because we keep it real. When you need to criticize something, you criticize it.
Yeah.
When you want to celebrate something, you celebrate it, because that's how it should be. Mm-hmm. But to Tony's point, people conveniently forget when you criticize something. Like, it's so funny. I was cleaning out my inbox. Yo, I found fan mail from 2014.
Oh my God. During the Xbox One era.
People were on fire mad at me and Mandy, dude. Mad. Oh,
yeah. Mad. Yeah, I remember.
Just because we weren't singing the praises of Xbox. Mm-hmm. They were like, how dare you, blah, 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 blah. And it was so funny. Like, and I won't say who it is. Matter of fact, one of them now is a content creator and has a YouTube channel. He's a cool dude. But he was on fire mad at me back in 2014 because I wasn't singing the praises of Xbox. And I was even saying then, I go, I'm just being honest. Do you want me to make it up? I'm telling you what I see, what I like, and what I don't like. Because you know, I was mad critical of Xbox until when?
Yeah.
When? 2016.
Yeah.
When Phil had at that spring showcase had that speech, and I was like, oh, I see what they're doing. I see what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And you could see. And here we are now. And it's still not perfect. Yo, this outage? Unacceptable.
Unacceptable. They, we talked about it.
Yeah. They got to change this DRM. The way they're handling this DRM and your consoles are offline, mm-hmm. they got to treat it like Steam, where mm-hmm. if I'm offline, I have this certain window of time where I can be offline before it has to check back in. It kind of sort of works that way on Xbox, but not 100. Yo, all my consoles are offline yesterday.
Unless you have a console that's your home console, that might work.
My Series S is my home console. Didn't work.
didn't work.
That's what I'm saying. Because me and Jez were going back about that on Twitter earlier because he's writing an article.
Yeah.
But that's the point. I said something. I was like, yo, y'all got to change this. Period.
Yeah.
I hope they come out next week and say something. Like, okay, we've reviewed it. Mm-hmm. You know, here's how they should come out and say, here's how it should work. And if mm-hmm. it wasn't working, we're investigating so that X, Y, and Z. And if it doesn't, and if that's unacceptable how it should work, then they need to modify it.
Yeah.
Because you can't tell me if I buy a game, and forget Game Pass and all that stuff, but if I bought a game and I own it and it is on my hard drive, if the internet's out, I should still be able to play it.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, that's just how it should work. And I get at a certain point, it might have to check in for the digital handshake, all that stuff. I get all that. But there should be at least a 48 to 72 hour window where if I'm offline, I can play my games.
You know, this is how it should be. It reminds me of the conversation we had back and during the Xbox One days where always online, if you're in the middle of nowhere, there's no internet. Yeah. You can't play these games. Play the Xbox 360. You remember that, Barry?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, Don
Matthew. What a bunch.
Yo,
answer.
I'm not going to mention the name. but it popped up in the interview, and I'm like, that doesn't sound right. I don't know. It's all good. But, Paris, you know what we got to do one day? One day, once everything's calm, yo, we got to go back to those days, 2013, 2014, read those emails. Let's just read a whole episode. Just
yeah. That. Yeah, because, yo, people were mad at me and Mandy back
then. Oh, my God. There was people saying, oh, I'm going to unsubscribe. Yeah. I can't believe I'm done with you guys, all this stuff. I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to come back. People will always say that. Get mad, unsubscribe, give us a bad review, and then later come back. Oh, man, I love you guys. It's like, it happens, man. It's like,
no,
We've seen it all.
Yeah, we have definitely seen it all.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, here's the thing that people don't know, Paris, and Ree, we talked about this. Like, you know, with content creation, you know, we've been doing this for a very long time. So there's going to be people that are going to just stop listening. They probably discover somewhere else. Or the lives just get so busy, they probably stop listening. Or they're unsubscribed because they heard Paris saying their favorite console is not that great. They get mad, they unsubscribe. There's going to be different type of reasons, but we're still doing a show. People always come and go, man. It's something that I'm so used to this. Like, even when Mandy left, you know, she got a job in the industry, you know, she had to leave the podcast. There was people like, oh, that's it. I'm not going to listen to the show anymore because so-and-so left. It's not going to be the same. It's like, yo, like, what else you want us to do? It's like, yo, life, there's always changes happening with everybody. You know, it happens, man. You know, like, look, for example, this month you're going to be busy. Pete is out for a couple of weeks because of work. Yeah.
Pete out in the Poconos somewhere. Wherever he is.
I don't have any control over that. Like, hey, if you can't get, guys can't join, you can't join, but I'm going to still do the podcast some way, somehow. Look, just today I was going to do it by myself and Rihanna was like, no, I'll join. Let's talk about Switch and Switch sports and just games. I'm like, all right, let's do it. You know, that's why I love Ree. She's lovely. But yeah, like, I just want people to understand, like, there's nothing else we could do. We just get busy and, you know, we're going to still try our best to create content for the show every week.
You know? By the way, Ree, because I already told Danny this, and I won't say when or why or what this is going to happen, but there's going to be a moment where I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to be knocking on your door at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's very soon.
That'll be in a time in the future.
I'll be awake.
We'll have coffee for you.
Yeah,
we'll have coffee. So people know, I know I'm being vague, but I'm going to have to go to L.A. for something, and L.A. traffic is chaos from where I live. So if you have to go to L.A. during the week for anything, I leave my house like at 5 a.m. I was like, let me just get there as soon as I can and avoid traffic, or I'll sit in like 3 hours of traffic if I don't. So I already told Dan, like, look, man, I'm going to be at your house like 7 in the morning.
Hey, whatever you got to do, man. By the way, Paris, are you planning to attend Star Wars Celebrations in a couple of weeks?
No, because I'm literally in the audit. I won't be able to.
I forgot. Yeah, right.
Because if I could, I would. But that is like the absolute worst week. I won't be able to get away from work at all. Yeah.
That's gonna be my first time attending Star Wars Celebration. I've never been there before. So, any tips? Any tips?
Well, I mean, the year I went was kind of special because that was Force Awakens when they showed the trailer and Han Solo at the end, he's like, Chewie, we're home.
Yeah.
And then Mark Hamill did like that whole thing. Carrie Fisher was there, all that stuff. Yo, not a dry eye in that crowd. It was just one of those things, just the energy of that moment. Because think about it. At that point, we had not seen any of these characters in 30 years. Mm-hmm. So for Han Solo to come on screen and go, Chewie, we're home. Yo, everybody was in tears.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm planning. I have to do stuff for work, but I'm planning to take my recorder and do an episode there live from Star Wars Celebration. It's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
No, it should be a lot of fun because I would imagine, obviously, wait, because Obi-Wan comes out the day after that.
Yep.
That next day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Obi-Wan's obviously going to be big. I would imagine they're probably going to announce some new Star Wars stuff there.
Movie or series?
Probably both.
Yeah.
If I had to guess.
Yeah, because I think the day after, they're releasing two episodes. It got delayed, but they're releasing two episodes of Obi-Wan, which is great.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah, and Rhi could answer because she's not a Star Wars fan, but yeah.
Yeah. No, there's video games.
Yeah.
We know Fallen Order 2 is a thing. I don't think it's coming this year. I think it's next year.
No, it's confirmed. I thought it was confirmed.
Did they confirm it? I can't remember if they confirmed
it. I heard it was next year too, but yeah.
Yeah. But do you think they show it?
Yes.
Okay. Now,
yeah.
The next question on that one.
Uh-oh.
Do they at least give a title to the one Massive is working on?
Too early.
Too early. Yeah. So I'm kind of thinking it's too early too.
And it's same thing with Massive. Massive, same thing. Too early for that too.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The Massive one. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, they got so many projects going on right now. But I feel like Fallen Order 2 won't be the only gaming thing they show, though. I think there's
gonna be something else. I mean, there's Hunters. That comes out this year, Star Wars Hunters, right?
Well, then there you go.
Is there anything else, Rhi, from Star Wars that you know that might be not right?
I have nothing. It's so far outside of my area of knowledge. Yeah. I've just not ever been into Star Wars.
That's all good.
Yeah. Even though Obi-Wan does come out on my birthday.
Because that year I went, that was when they showed Battlefront. That was the year Battlefront came out.
Yeah, yeah. I know Janina was in Battlefront 2. Janina Gavrikar. Yeah. Yeah, so. Yeah, I'm very curious to see what we're going to get to see. Now, my question to you, Paris. Do you think we're going to see Knights of the Republic remake?
Oh, you know what? That's what they're going to show. Yes, I do. I think it's that one. There you go. It'll be that. Yeah. They're going to show that. Mm-hmm.
Is that the right time?
Yeah. Why not?
Because I'm trying to think. When did they mention
Is that this year?
I haven't heard. I think that's next year, I think. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea.
But like I said, no brainer Fallen Order 2 they do something with that because clearly Obi-Wan is set in the same universe.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a tie in there because I guess Ewan McGregor, even on one of these talk shows, basically hinted at that too. So, and we know characters from the game are in Obi-Wan series. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I could see them showing Knights of the Old Republic 2 remake.
I think it'll be great.
Yeah. I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, and I know you guys have already done the show, but I'm curious what you think on this.
Uh-huh.
When this PlayStation have whatever they're going to call their thing. When do you think?
July.
I think August.
Yeah, I'm with Rhi. I'm thinking August.
I think the end of July, maybe. They're probably going to go away from the whole digital showcase from all the other companies. They just want to have their own when there's nothing going on. I think last year, the year before, I think they did it July, I believe.
Can't see it happening that soon.
August will be Gamescom and there's Comic-Con, there's a bunch of other stuff. I think it's gonna be July because there's nothing happening during that time. after 4th of July, of course, mid July will be a great time for Sony to do that, in my opinion. Or unless they have something on Summer Game Fest, I mean, that can't be the focus now.
No,
right?
No.
I think PlayStation will have I think both PlayStation and Xbox will have a small presence at Summer Games Fest. There will be major stuff. Like as an example, I can see Xbox teasing Starfield at Summer Game Fest to then say to get more watch the showcase, our showcase. And I think PlayStation could tease Ragnarok or something like that at Summer Games Fest, but not really give you a lot. You know what I'm saying? Something like that. I don't think it'll be anything beyond that.
Why Starfield at Summer Game Fest though, Paris? Why not have it?
Because it's a bigger audience.
It's not a bigger audience.
You don't think more people are going to watch Summer Games Fest than the Xbox Showcase?
You trying to tell me that there's a bigger audience than that? I think it's too new, man. It's too new. I can understand the Game Awards. I completely understand has been around for a while. But Summer Game Fest, this is like the second year, maybe third. It's not.
I don't know. I don't know how widely Summer Game Fest is being marketed. Compared to Xbox.
It's not, Paris.
I guess my thought is, and then maybe you tell me what you think. I think obviously hardcore Xbox people are going to tune into the showcase, but not every hardcore PlayStation person or Nintendo person is going to tune in to the Xbox showcase. Summer Game Fest, everybody's going to tune into because Keeley's appealing to everybody. So that's why I think it's going to be a bigger audience.
Well, I know he announced that people could go to IMAX theaters and watch Summer Game Fest through there.
He's doing that too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ree, your thoughts? You think Summer Game Fest is a bigger audience this time around, or?
I don't know. Like I said, it. I don't know what the reach is like. It's definitely smaller than the Game Awards.
Oh, way smaller.
And I guess that was my thought. Did you bring that up? It makes sense. I'm thinking Game Awards is more people are watching that than the Xbox. But you're right. I guess Summer Games Fest wouldn't have as big of a footprint because it's too new.
I think it still doesn't have that.
It is the thing that's replacing E3, though. This is E3. Let's just be real.
Yeah.
So
now,
I don't know. It's interesting. I just think it's another platform for these major publishers to at least tease stuff they're working on and then use it as a way to say, hey, don't forget, we got something coming too. Because if you look at the schedule with what Keeley's doing, it literally rolls right into the Xbox showcase that Sunday. So Xbox would be crazy to not do something during Summer Games Fest. That's just free advertising for what they're going to do.
I have a theory.
And I would imagine PlayStation does the same.
I have a theory about that. I think for Summer Game Fest, get a game like Redfall there and save Starfield for the big, big showcase, Xbox showcase. That's what I think. That makes more sense. If Redfall comes out this year during the summer, Summer Game Fest is the perfect one to start the conversation about the game and also show a little bit during the showcase. But
I don't know. I think smaller titles from the publishing side, Xbox publishing suite, you know, like updates to Sea of Thieves or, you know, like preview of anything going on at Coalition. You know, I think it'll be maybe just teasers.
I agree with Ree on that. But to your point, Danny, I guess when I say Starfield, I'm not saying you're showing gameplay or anything like that. You literally have Keeley do a little quick little sit down interview with Todd Howard or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Just do that.
That would be enough.
And then for the full gameplay reveal, tune into the Xbox showcase on Sunday.
Yep.
Done. You know?
Yeah.
But you could do something like that with Redfall too. I mean, if you think about it, and let's take PlayStation out of it for a second. Let's talk Xbox for a second.
Yeah.
If you think about it, between Summer Game Fest and whatever the showcase is going to be, this is probably one of the more important ones Xbox has ever done because they've not put anything out this year outside of Crossfire X, which kind of doesn't even count.
Well, that's trash.
They gotta come with heaters.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. Redfall, look, You better be showing Redfall with a date.
We need a Fable update.
Yeah.
Have Rhea on the cover of the game.
Just like I told Danny in our debate already, I don't think we see Fable.
I don't either, but like
I think we see about
it. I think both of y'all are haters, but go ahead.
We need an update, even if it's just a quick update. That I could see happening on the 10th.
Yeah.
Paris hating on Fable.
No, I'm not hating on Fable. I'm just telling you it's further out than you think. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Same with Perfect Dark.
Oh, Perfect Dark, we're not going to see that at all.
Yeah.
I don't see that at all.
Let me ask you this one real quick.
Okay.
Because since this is in the rumor mill.
Yeah. Oh.
If Forza Motorsport is on Xbox One, is that a disappointment?
Oh, people will be so mad. It's not to me, but people will be mad.
It is to me.
Let me really think about this.
All right, you think about it, and I'll tell you why it's a disappointment.
All right, go for it. Let me think about it.
I think it's a disappointment for the simple fact, and look, I'm obviously been playing on PC forever. I get it. You know, you scale back and forth and the whole thing. I want Forza Motorsport to take full advantage of the series. I want the Series X hardware to be the baseline for whatever motorsport's going to be from a physics perspective, obviously levels, all of that stuff. And I get they can stream in stuff with Azure for cloud compute and do all that. I just don't want them to compromise anything that they potentially wanted to do with Forza Motorsport because it's also on the Xbox One. Now, on the flip side, I can understand if it's on the Xbox One because if that's the game they want to put out, there's more Xbox Ones out there than the Series X and the S, right? Mm-hmm. So you're making the game available to more people. But now I'm going to counter my counter and say, well, why the hell are we doing the cloud streaming on the Xbox One? Play it that way if you don't have it. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I think if it turns out that it is an Xbox One game, I'll be a little bummed by that for sure.
Yeah. And here's the thing, that the things that I would like to see for this showcase, show us games that's only available on the current gens, the Series X and S.
Yes, that's my point.
I want to see that.
I want this to be, we're moving on.
Yeah.
Full on to the next gen stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to see Hellblade 2 Avowed. I want all that stuff to be, that's all Series X and S. I don't want anything to go backwards. Like even with PlayStation, we know Ragnarok's going to be on PlayStation 4. But any of the new stuff, like obviously Spider-Man, Wolverine, all that stuff, all PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
You agree with that, Reed? Like, you would like to see games as currently for the newest consoles, or you would like to see for all consoles for you?
It depends on the game, and Forza is one of those games that the graphical fidelity does matter to a lot of people who play it. Mm-hmm. I think for most, like, adventure games or RPGs, it won't be as big of a deal. They can upscale a lot these days, but you gotta go with the biggest install base if it's a game that's more for general audiences.
It's a business, man. It's a business. It helps the subscription service, Paris. It helps numbers from that, and also the sales too, man. So I get why PlayStation and Xbox are still doing that, but
they're gonna have to pull it at some point.
Yes, I mean, I guess that's kind of my thing.
Yeah.
At what point do we? And I get the pandemic has delayed some things, but Microsoft basically had said from the get 2020, we're gonna do this for about 18 to 24 months, and then we're moving on. I think we should by this holiday be at that point to move on, because really, are we really gonna go into 2022? Starting into 2023 and we're still doing Xbox One and PS4 stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to see them both move on. I want to see the new hardware be the baseline instead of hardware from, because think about it. Mm-hmm. When you say Xbox One or you say PlayStation 4, that means that freaking microwave oven Xbox One from 2013 is your baseline. That's why Cyberpunk had so many issues, because they couldn't get anything to run on it, right? And even the PlayStation 4 from 2013 mm-hmm. is it's a freaking dinosaur at this point. let's move on.
You know what? To be fair, Paris, because yo, the PC does the same exact thing as the console, Paris.
It's not different because
you can still play these games 1080p 4K if you want. You know, nobody talks about that, but when it comes to the consoles, no, it has to be current gen.
I'm a counter you.
Oh God, here it goes. Go.
I'm about to counter you.
Go ahead, Paris.
You're correct in your thinking, but here's the difference. There is an expectation on console that at a minimum, you're getting a locked 30 frames and you're going to have a certain visual fidelity that happens. PC, there ain't no freaking guarantee. If you got some Jaguar CPUs running on freaking 64 megabytes of RAM, right, and some ancient GPU, and you have to play on low settings and it looks like complete crap, that's on you because that's the machine that you're running. But if I have a console, this is why CD Projekt Red caught so much crap, because look how terrible that game looked on the baseline consoles. So that is unacceptable. So my point is, if you're making a game that you can't get running at a reasonable expectation on the baseline consoles, why are we doing this? Let's move on to the ones that we know that can. That's what I'm saying.
You know what? Say that to Phil Space, Face. Tell him that exact thing you said.
He would.
You do realize back in 2014, I was like, yeah, I don't like Kinect.
I know. I was like, what? To his face, too. I was there. He's like, yeah, I don't like Kinect. I think it's a waste of money. I was like, oh, yeah. My God, Paris.
But I didn't say it like an a-hole.
No.
People obviously can listen to the audio anytime they want. But
I think you're an a-hole during that time, too.
No, I was not.
Look, in one corner of my eye, I saw PR just typing, Paris doesn't like Kinect.
But what we're talking about, you get what I'm saying, though.
No, yes. I get it.
Yeah, PC, they'll get it to run. But yo, if it looks terrible, what are we doing? And that's what I'm saying. We're quote unquote in the next gen now. So let's not force a game or limit a game to run on this baseline hardware if it doesn't have to. And look, I get smaller games, indie games and all that. If you could put them on everything, put them on everything. But yo, when we're talking Hellblade 2 on running on Unreal 5, I don't need that on the freaking microwave oven Xbox One. Just keep it on the Series X and S.
Paris, so
it takes full advantage of it.
Paris. But to be fair, no players get left behind.
I know. That's what the cloud's for.
Yeah, but not everybody's going to use the cloud, Paris. Hey, not everybody wants to use the cloud.
Hey, it's an option. That's the
compromise. It's an option, but it's
compromise.
Very accessible. Like,
but that's them. Okay, I'm going to disagree. On that.
For a lot of people, they don't know how to use it.
Yeah, Paris.
I think that's a communication problem, not a technology problem.
Yes, I agree. But they have made it very, like, and I was just telling Danny this the other day. Do you realize I played Mass Effect Andromeda on my Xbox and never downloaded it? All I did was play it on the cloud. It was fine.
No, we've done the same exact thing, Paris. But that's my point. But the majority of people don't know about that, though.
Yeah, majority of people don't know about it. And when I say accessible, I don't mean, like, again, the technology is absolutely some of the most accessible out there for gaming options. It's just that, like, it hasn't been communicated effectively to make it a viable mass appeal.
That I do agree. They need to get better messaging. I know someone they could get to do that. Be more than happy to do it.
is he an a-hole too?
No, he's a really great guy. Nah, but you get my point, though. I'm saying at some point you can't let legacy hardware hold you back from the ambitions of what the newer hardware can do. And you are providing an option to people that does not have or wants to buy the new hardware to still play these games. That's all I'm saying. So if someone wants to play Starfield on Xbox One, there is a way for you to do it. You could cloud stream it. If you don't want to cloud stream, then that's when you gently and respectfully tell them, well, maybe it's time for you to go buy an Xbox Series S or an X.
You know what? I find this very unfair. I'm not saying you, Paris, but it's interesting. It's interesting that people are going after Xbox about that. And no word about PlayStation, because they've been releasing games like this for multiple consoles for years now. for years. Mm-hmm. There's a couple games that's only strictly like just a PS5, but look at the sales compared to that, Paris. Compared to that, to the one that is out there with PS4 and PS5, like game wise, right? Miles Morales. Now compare that to a phenomenal game, Ratchet and Clank, that's only on PS5, or Returnal. A lot of people like that game. Look at the sales numbers of that. So I get why Xbox and PlayStation are doing that, is because, yo, it's a business. They need to figure out. Right now, you can't find a PS5 now, still to this day. And I think to make more money, have it for multiple consoles, multi-platform. I get why they're doing that from the business side. You know what I'm saying? But why people are not going after PlayStation also? They're doing the same exact thing. The same exact thing. Everybody's excited about God of War, Ragnarok. It's coming out for multiple consoles. Is that going to mess up your gaming experience? I don't think so. Horizon, great game. Multiple consoles.
But no, so these are obviously things that can run on the old hardware just fine. Like I'm saying, if the game can run fine on the old hardware, then do it. But if you're trying to push the limits of the tech and of the hardware and its capabilities, mm-hmm. and that old hardware can no longer do it, and now you have to compromise your game to get it to run on the old hardware, mm-hmm. move on.
You move on. What the heck?
Hey.
You move on.
I am. That's what I'm saying. I'm ready to move on. We've had a couple years of cross gaming. Time to move on.
Yo, I remember when Matt Booty announced that. Rhea, I don't remember if you got to see this.
Mad people.
Yo, people mad. What? PlayStation didn't say anything. And right after the showcase, oh, by the way, this game is also available on PS4. Crickets. I find that so unfair, dude. Like, come on, man. Come on. Everybody's doing it. Nintendo's doing it too. It's very unfair. You know, if you're gonna talk ish about one company, talk about all companies, man. That's how I see it, personally, for me. And you know, I'm freaking right, Paris. Paris is quiet. He has no words.
I walked away. I heard what you said.
But am I right? It's the truth.
No, you're right. You are right.
Yeah, I'm always right.
No, well, definitely not that.
I'm always
definitely
right.
Not right. Uh-uh.
All right. We'll see. By the way, you want to mention our bet before we wrap this up?
Which bet?
Oh, we had a bet. First, I told Paris $100 bet. He's like, no, that's too personal. I'm like, what do you mean this too personal? Then he go, all right, you know what? L.A., we'll go to an expensive restaurant. We'll go eat there. And I'm like, all right, that's going to be over $100. So I don't know what's the difference. But anyways, the bet is, I said to him, yo, they got to show something of, what was it, the Fable one, Paris? Or was it the release date of Fable? Which one of the two? I can't remember. Oh, he's not even there, Creed.
I'm chewing.
Well, hurry up. Carry up. Chew.
So wait, you don't even remember what the bet is, but you want to talk trash.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
The bet is either which game comes out first, Avowed or Fable, or if they show Fable at E3, one of the two. I mean, E3, the showcase, one of the two.
The bet is they're not going to show Fable. They will show Avowed.
I said they're going to show Fable. And I didn't say that about Avowed. They show Avowed too, but I think they're going to show Fable.
Right, it's about Fable. They're not showing Fable at this thing. I'm telling you.
Okay, Miss Cleo.
And then the bet was, you think Fable's coming out before Avowed? That's what you said.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Okay. All right.
That's the bet. That's the dinner bet. The lunch bet is, and the lunch is cheap. We get off the dollar menu somewhere. The lunch bet is, they're not even going to show Fable. The dinner bet is, you say Fable comes out before Avowed.
Yes.
What do you mean, here we go with Paris? What the hell does that mean? I don't know. People are weird. But to the point of the bet, Ree, so he tried to say $100, and I said, that's personal. I lose. We might have to throw hands. Let's not do that. I said, let's up it even more. Let's go to a nice bougie restaurant in LA.
Rika, come with us too.
Yeah, Rika. Hey, you paying for all of it, so it's fine, because I'm getting lobsters and scrimps and everything. It's going to be great. I can't wait. I'm gonna walk in there. I'm gonna go, give me the most expensive thing you have on this menu, and I'm not even gonna eat it. But he paying for it.
Yo, that's what I'm saying. Yo, no, I remember this, Paris, years ago. Years ago, this is a long time ago. Yo, we were so happy about E3, Ree. Yo, we did a phenomenal job. I think this was 2015. I think it was maybe 2016, the latest. Yo, we go to this expensive sushi restaurant. Yo, we were ordering all kinds of stuff. Yo, we saw the check. I was like, holy crap. I was like, it's gonna be like that, Paris, right?
Oh yeah, it's gonna be insane. But hey, it's all good though. It's all good. It's just an excuse for us to go out to dinner and have
hell yeah. Time. Wait, yeah. What says here is Paris predicted on Xbox Showcase because I just got in here. What? Oh,
I think he said, here we go with Paris, and then he's saying Paris predicted on Xbox Showcase because he just arrived, so he
it's all good. It's all good.
It's all good.
Now, Ree, which one of the two do you think might win? Either me or Paris?
I think Paris is gonna win.
See,
wow. It's the world. It's me against the world, yo. Everybody, hey. I'm not giving up. It's me versus the world. Let's go.
Just being honest.
Hey, Mr. Married Guy, Ree is going to give you nothing but side eye that night because I'll be like, give me all these scrimps and lobsters, your most expensive wines, everything. And I'm going to just be wasteful with all of it.
And you know what? And when I'm right, people are going to come, damn, Danny was so right. Paris crickets, not saying anything online. That's what's going to happen. I guarantee you that's what's going to happen. Let me tell you, when Aaron Deere and I, we made that bet, yo, every few times, like, there's like an article, an interview, and they were like hinting it was going to be this way, like exclusive and all that stuff. Yo, everybody will reply to Andrew. And I'm like, yo, guys, stop. Like, it's a friendly bet. Relax. Chill. But then Andrea, credit to her, she went online once it was official, when Sarah Bond went on stage during the showcase and said Starfield is an Xbox exclusive. I was like, that's what happened with Paris.
So funny story from last year when I did extend it, right?
Yeah.
And you know, we're going through and the scripts and all that, because you know, in my intro I say that Starfield is exclusive. And I thought of you, right? You and Andrew right now. I was like, see, Andrew, you're freaking wrong. And it was like, and I can't say nothing. I gotta hold on to this for like 2 weeks.
It's all good.
When it comes up.
It's all good.
Yeah, that was freaking great.
Yeah,
but I also say with that whole Bethesda thing, honestly, I fully admit that was one of my more proud moments. Was we said from the get, yo, it's Bethesda thing. You won't spend $7 billion. It's going to be exclusive. And then I was saying, if I was Xbox, as soon as the ink dries, I'm getting out in front of this with Bethesda. We're going to talk about it, the whole thing, blah, 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 blah. And then when they did that, and then freaking Phil had tweeted at me, he was like, yeah, we saw when you said that. And then we were planning. We all laughed because he was like, does he have a spy in the room? How does he know?
A fly's carrying all the information.
Bug the room.
Yeah. Now, before we wrap it up, Paris, what makes this one different than the Bethesda one? Because the Activision, I know.
Way bigger.
I know.
Yeah,
but
that's why.
But, you know, having Call of Duty as multi-platform and not as an exclusive is very interesting to see that. Like, I think one, they're doing that also because Microsoft as a company wants the deal to go through because it has to get approved by the government and everything. And I think that's the main reason why they say, hey, no, Call of Duty is going to be multi-platform. It's not going to be just exclusive. I think that's the reason why that came out. No, I think everything else is going to be exclusive. Everything else. You think?
I agree on that. And it's interesting because obviously when the news first came out, I was like, they're making Call of Duty exclusive. They're not going to do that.
Yeah.
But then when you think about in the grand scheme of things, how big of an acquisition Activision is. And look, we're talking Call of Duty. That is the game. Love it, hate it, doesn't matter. That is every freaking year, except when Red Dead comes out, is the number one selling game in the world every year.
Yeah.
So to take that away from people, I could see that being an issue, FTC and the whole thing. So it makes sense that, yo, here's the compromise. Here we're going to honor the agreements in place. We're going to do all this stuff. That makes sense. Like if it was Ubisoft, as an example, if they just acquired Ubisoft instead of Activision.
Yeah.
If I had to guess, Ubisoft would be treated the same way Bethesda was, and they would make an exclusive because I think it's just smaller in scope. But Activision and Call of Duty is just so big that you're risking it, the deal not going through. Because think about it, even PlayStation is catching a little bit of heat with the Bungie acquisition in Destiny, where they're assuring, yo, we're going to keep it multi-platform. We're not going to take it away from people. Because think about it, you take Destiny away from people on Xbox and potentially PC if they did that too, whoa, people would be on fire mad now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know?
It's not good, not good. No. Ree, what are your thoughts, Ree? Before we wrap it up, your thoughts about that part.
I'm multitasking. I'm just here commenting.
I saw one of your multitasks.
Yeah.
what's the comments on the chat?
No, I'm working.
All right. Now, Paris, it was cool, man. Hopefully, during the month, once in the blue, maybe pop up and maybe could record something offline and, you know, talk about some stuff. If not, it's all good. I get it. You're gonna be busy. But yeah, thanks for coming.
No, of course, man.
Yeah. I could use this as another daily conversation if you want.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, are you recording this now?
Well, it's on Twitch. I could just.
Oh, yeah, it's on Twitch. Yeah, you can just pull the audio.
Yeah. That's cool. Right. Very on. Cool, man.
All right. Well, you enjoy the rest of your Mother's Day.
Of course. Me a lot of fun.
And I got a feeling I'll be talking to the both of you guys really soon.
Really soon.
And make sure to do your research. The restaurant, the one that I that I'm gonna eat, and you pay.
I already know the one we're going to.
Oh really?
Oh yeah. Oh boy, you better bring your credit card.
Well,
you
this what
stock the, options. Yo, everything.
There's one restaurant that I went with Ree. I think it was way before our wedding. You remember, Ree? The one that's like in the middle of the mountains. I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, Solving?
Oh, yo. That restaurant in Paris. The view. You see the whole Burbank.
You're talking about, it's over like north of Burbank.
North of Burbank. Yo, but you see the whole, oh my God, the view is phenomenal. Like, it's so dope. So dope, Paris.
They bring you out drinks, and it's like in like a little glass ball with like flowers and stuff inside of it.
Yeah, you have to put a reservation on this spot, like just to eat, like months ahead. Like it's hard. That's the one I want to go.
Well, the restaurant I'm thinking of is on Manhattan Beach.
Oh and, shit!
You're gonna need to make a reservation.
Mm. Oh,
okay.
And like I said, you better bring your portfolio, you better bring your wallet, credit card, whatever you got to do. Take out a loan, mortgage, anything.
Yeah. Hey, Paris, make sure to bring your Shield money and all this stuff. You know,
I'll have all my Shield money. I love that one. I love when I get that one all the time. Yeah. Microsoft paid you to do a thing, so you're a Shield. Well, yeah, because I did something.
It's a job.
Yeah, what, it's idiot? A freaking job.
You get paid? It's like, come on.
Yo, those same people, if they would have got an opportunity in Paris, you think that, nah, I'll keep it real. I'm not gonna do it.
Of course you are. So, look, I know you guys got to go. So
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. No, but I think it's good. It's good. All right, so we have to leave. We have to head out. But thank you everyone for watching the stream. Paris, thank you for calling. Ree, my beautiful wife. Thank you for
catch you later.
Recording with me. All right, of later, course. Man.
Bye, Paris.
Bye.
This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, so that was my daily conversation with Paris Lily. Great conversation. Please send me your thoughts about the conversation, and I hope everybody's happy with this one. This is like a very long episode, a very long one. So Ree, anything you would like to promote, talk about before we wrap it up?
Well, one thing I would like to promote we can't talk about yet. So keep an eye on our Twitters. I'm at Rihanna Tweets Now. That's Riana Tweets Now. And of course, you know, you, Godfrey. We'll have some exciting things to talk about soon.
Ooh, that's gonna be exciting. And this is a big one too.
Yeah.
I can't wait. So yeah, we'll talk about that once it's official. And also Later this week, I have something coming up. We've been working on this for a while. Can't say when exactly, but
very mysterious.
It's gonna go live, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday. Sometime this week, it's gonna go live. So, yeah, very excited. And also from X-Play side, there's a couple cool stuff coming out this week too, which is a couple of interviews that's coming up later this week. Legendary ones. That's about it. So yeah, that's about it. Yeah, make sure to follow me, Godfrey, and Rihanna too. Follow her. Rihanna tweets now.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
There you go.
And yeah, so thank you everyone for listening to this episode of Gamer Tag Radio. Remember, head over to gamertagradio.com. Find our podcaster there. Listen to it. We have a lot of episodes, over 1,000 episodes. You want to check Amazing. It out, which is crazy. And also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamer Tag Radio. When we pop up, make sure to subscribe, follow us, and also post your review. It's very important. It takes a couple of minutes. Super easy to do. Doesn't matter if it's an Apple Podcast, Spotify. It will help us to get discovered. So the more you do that, the more it's going to help us. All right. Also, if you'd like to be part of our family discussion, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. Until next time, this is Danny and also my beautiful wife, Rihanna. Until next time, we're out.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.